BBC headlines take us up to 6 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGMU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, civil liberties advocacy groups are raising concerns about some of the impacts of the current COVID-19 crisis, especially for those who are incarcerated. Yesterday, there was a telephone town hall meeting with members of the ACLU and some local law enforcement and elected officials to address the issues. Then, every year, the sandhill cranes migrate through Colorado from late February through late March. We'll get a report from our partner station in Paonia, KVNF. John Lendorf will join us live from his kitchen for Radio Nibbles. Then at 8:30 this morning, we'll bring you a Conference on World Affairs special on the history of pandemics. The conference was scheduled to be happening on the CU Boulder campus this week, but it's moved online because of what's happening with the coronavirus. We'll be broadcasting some of the panels here on KGNU in the coming weeks. At 9:30, we'll begin a morning of music on the Morning Sound Alternative. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock has joined dozens of mayors in calling on the federal government to improve the distribution of PPE, that's personal protective equipment, to cities and municipalities around the country as they try to address the COVID-19 pandemic. The Denverite reports that as of Tuesday, the city of Denver had run out of PPE equipment. That includes surgical masks, gowns, gloves, face shields and the N95 face masks. They had run out by Tuesday of that equipment to distribute to city employees and partnering groups. Mayor Hancock spoke with reporters yesterday, saying that the letter that he co-signed with other mayors from across the country calls on the federal authorities to create a medical equipment czar that would oversee the national stockpile and the distribution of supplies, as well as overseeing a ramping up of production of personal protective equipment. The letter also called on the federal authorities to take additional steps like improving supply monitoring and providing more information to state and local governments, including details about the needs and the allocation of PPE. Hancock says he's been calling for more equipment since the beginning of the pandemic. Yesterday, the Boulder County Commissioners enacted level one fire restrictions for unincorporated areas of western Boulder County. The recent warm and windy weather has heightened fire danger in many parts of the state. According to a statement released by Boulder County on Wednesday, normal weather and fire conditions don't currently meet the state authorized levels for law enforcement to enact such fire restrictions. However, with firefighting and law enforcement resources stretched so thin due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Boulder County Commissioners and the Boulder County Sheriff say they're concerned that adding the potential for wildfires to the community stress load is more than the county can endure. The fire restrictions ban building, maintaining, attending or using an open fire, as well as campfires or stove fires on public land, and that includes barbecues and grills. It also bans the use of explosives and personal fireworks. With Passover beginning yesterday and Easter this weekend, Governor Polis on Wednesday reminded Coloradoans of the need to stay home and not gather in community.
But I think that all Coloradans, secular, religious, of every faith, can really draw inspiration from these holidays that are upon us. And I know that in person, in the case of Easter, and in home, religious services, in the case of Passover, are a key part of these celebrations. And for many of us, our faith and spiritual community are absolutely critical for emotional well-being, especially in a time of crisis. Unfortunately, this year, those plans are going to look a bit different than they have in previous years.
Reverend Amanda Henderson, the executive director of the Interfaith Alliance of Colorado, said that several Christian groups and other faith groups are planning meaningful celebrations without endangering themselves with physical proximity.
Churches, synagogues, and mosques have adapted to this health crisis with creativity and heart. I've been inspired by the many things that I've seen congregations doing to build community in new and different ways, like broadcasting worship services online. Even the Red Rocks service that's normally held at Easter each year will be online this year. Shabbat services have been happening every week live on Facebook, and many of my friends are sharing Passover meals online with family and friends. The Muslim community in Colorado has been hard at work making plans to be able to practice iftar virtually and to celebrate their prayers during the month of Ramadan while being apart.
Every evening at around 8 p.m. across Denver and other Front Range communities, people have been howling in support of frontline medical workers. The phenomenon started about a week or two ago and it has spread across communities, most notably in Denver. Every evening at 8 o'clock, people are stepping out onto their balconies or into their gardens to join their neighbours and howl at the moon. And in the weather today, a slight cooling in temperatures, highs today in the mid 50s, but mostly sunny skies. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer. Expect highs to get back up close to 70 degrees on Friday, but there is a chance of some rain showers coming in tonight. And it looks like there will be snow for Easter Sunday. Temperatures dropping significantly. Highs for Sunday forecast right now to be in the low 30s with snow showers and snow likely again on Monday with highs staying in the mid 30s. It is 13 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. An inmate who was transferred from a Denver County jail to Buena Vista Correctional Complex has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Governor Polis has called for a suspension of transferring inmates from county jails to state facilities because of the risk of transmission. The Denverite reports that six inmates currently in custody in Denver have in fact tested positive. This is according to the city's Joint Information Centre. Well, the plight of those who are incarcerated and the impact on broader civil liberties during the pandemic was the subject of a telephone town hall meeting that was held yesterday. It was hosted by State Representative Jonathan Singer and it featured a variety of representatives from local law enforcement as well as local civil liberties advocates. During yesterday's town hall, Denise Mayaz with the ACLU said that counties around the state need to work on reducing their jail populations due to the threat of transmitting COVID-19.
How do you reduce the jail population? The guidance really encouraged local law enforcement to focus more on summonses over arrests. And also just recognizing how the virus can take hold in the jails, which is quite simply that it's not a question of if the virus will take hold in our jails, it's a matter of when. And in fact, the when is now. We now know that there have been at least 4 to 5 confirmed cases in Denver. We know that, sadly, an El Paso County sheriff died from complications associated with the virus. There are people that leave our jails every day. There are approximately 600 individuals that are released from our jails statewide. And so some folks may not care specifically about individuals in the jails, but the fact of the matter is when you have 600 individuals that leave the jail daily, it is a perfect transmission for that.
Denise Maez says that jail populations are being reduced in certain counties. However, the American Civil Liberties Union this week filed a lawsuit against Weld County over their reluctance to release those in jail.
Now, there are some counties that are doing really well, and then there are some counties that are doing very poorly. We just filed a lawsuit last night against Weld County. They have reduced their jail population somewhere in the teens, and that reduction in the jail population doesn't seem to be associated at all with the COVID. Instead, it's just kind of their normal reduction. And we've seen in Weld County, for example, sort of a kind of a dismissive view of the virus being able to take hold in the jail, and they really are not taking any steps to address their jail population.
Maez also addressed concerns about immigrants who are being held in detention facilities around the state.
We have learned that ICE has released individuals from the ICE facility in Aurora. About 30, 35 individuals have been released, mostly women, and they've been granted early parole.
Also speaking yesterday, Boulder County District Attorney Michael Doherty said that there are some civil liberties concerns being raised with his department as a result of the stay-at-home orders, but he wants to clarify exactly what that means for residents of Boulder County.
We have information on our website and Facebook page about what the stay-at-home orders mean. And I can tell you, Boulder County law enforcement are not pulling people over to check on where they're going or what they're doing. And if someone is pulled over or if someone is stopped for any reason, you don't need paperwork to demonstrate that you are engaging in essential travel. So some employers have done that. Some employers have given their employees letters. But for example, we had a police impersonator, someone who's impersonating a police officer, pull over a woman in Longmont earlier this week. And he demanded paperwork that showed she was engaging in essential travel. She happened to have it because she's a nurse. But this guy was a police impersonator, and she called 911 after he left her, and she was right to do so.
Michael Doherty also said that the public should be cautious because they are seeing an increase of scams during the current crisis, particularly when it comes to the distribution of federal stimulus checks.
The government's going to be sending you a stimulus check if you qualify for it. They will not be asking you to submit a form, asking you to submit your social security number, asking you to send your tax return in. The government's going to ask you for very, very little, in fact, almost nothing, for you to get the stimulus check in the first place. So we put together a tip sheet of what you can expect from the government in terms of the stimulus checks. And you should look at that sheet and recognize that there are people who are going to be committing scams in response to the virus. And again, I'm an optimist and a positive person, but I also want people to be protected and be aware of some of the scams that are out there right now.
That was Boulder County District Attorney Michael Doherty speaking yesterday as part of a telephone town hall addressing civil liberties issues when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is 19 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, from Coachella to Wimbledon, large events of all kinds are being cancelled or postponed due to the COVID-19 crisis. Telluride's Bluegrass Festival isn't immune to the trend. Julia Caulfield from Coto has more.
The 2020 Telluride Bluegrass Festival is no more. Craig Ferguson, Bluegrass Festival promoter, announced this week the Solstice Weekend Festival is cancelled this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. According to Ferguson, once the state of the COVID crisis became clear, it was an obvious decision to cancel.
We just checked with our entire team and everybody we could talk to. There really wasn't anyone that thought there was a path to do this responsibly this year.
He notes the festival is still in the process of figuring out the nuances of canceling a sold-out festival, but he says he's only had positive responses to the decision.
And even the artists, they don't really feel like it right now. It's going to take a while for that everybody to get out of their house and get ready to festivate. This just ain't that year for us.
Ferguson recently approached Telluride's town council with the idea of possibly moving the festival to later in the year, but in the end, Ferguson says it doesn't make sense for bluegrass.
The Telluride Bluegrass Festival is on Solstice, and if I learned anything from these last month, it's probably that. We can do some other event, but at another time, but the Tyard Bluegrass Festival happens in Tyard and happens on solstice. We're not going to move it, time or place.
He notes he's already thinking forward to the festival in 2021, including how to make it safe for festivarians.
You know, right now, the festivarian journey seems a little like not safe. So I think the vision is for 21 is really how to have a large festival, because without something different than now, they aren't going to happen.
2020 will move forward without the Bluegrass Festival. The 48th annual Telluride Bluegrass Festival will take place over Solstice weekend in June 2021.
One of the things that has not been stopped because of COVID-19 is the annual bird migration of the sandhill cranes. It's quite a sight as they come through southwestern Colorado every year. Now, while humans might be limited this year in going out and observing the magnificent birds, the birds themselves are still coming through. Up next, we get a report from our partner station KVNF in Paonia.
While coronavirus has turned our human world upside down, for wild animals, life continues pretty much as usual. For the past month, greater sandhill cranes have been gracing the skies of western Colorado as they travel through on their annual spring migration. These huge birds, with up to 7-foot wingspans, make an unforgettable sound. Perhaps you've heard it echoing down the sky as a V of cranes passes so high overhead that they're barely visible. One of the key stops for migrating sandhill cranes is Fruit Growers Reservoir on the flanks of the Grand Mesa. Groups of migrating cranes arrive in late afternoon and early evening, ranging in number from a few hundred to a few thousand. They feed on grains and insects in the nearby fields, and then the next morning, when the air has warmed sufficiently, they spiral up into the sky and continue their journey north over Grand Mesa. Retired wildlife biologist Jim Durr, along with a few other dedicated crane watchers, record the number of arriving cranes each day on a website, EckertCraneDays.com. I asked Jim where the birds are coming from and where they're going.
These are birds that are heading north on their spring migration to their nesting area. They return in the fall and early winter to New Mexico, the Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge, down through there and into even northern Old Mexico, provide a lot of wintering grounds for them to feed. And sometimes in February, they all start flying north and they congregate in the San Luis Valley. At some point, groups start leaving and flying north. The primary stop is Fruit Growers Reservoir, which is in Hart's Basin, which is just east of Eckert.
Where do they end up at the end of their migration?
When they head out from here, they're heading for nesting areas. One of the primary hotspots is Grays Lake in southeastern Idaho. Some will end up in Yellowstone country. In the fall, when they're coming back, their young are learning to fly, and they're just kind of meander back in smaller flight distances and more stops along the way.
And I understand there's now a year-round population of sandhill cranes near Delta, Colorado, that no longer migrate?
10-15 years ago, there were a few breeding pairs that were hanging down west of Delta along the Gunnison River. And in the last few years, we've had wintering cranes in the range of about 3,000 staying over and going no further south than there.
And that was Jim Durr, longtime crane observer. Even though the spring migration is nearly over, groups of greater sandhill cranes will still be winging into Hart's Basin for a few weeks yet. And even if you can't go see them right now due to the stay-at-home order, you can listen to this and imagine how they sound when they take to the sky. The Sandhill Crane audio was recorded by Jeff Reynolds in 2018 at Hart's Basin. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
And it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy.
Everybody eats on Thursday mornings, and John Lendorf joining us live from his kitchen. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Maeve.
It's good to hear your voice, albeit from a distance. But there's still lots of food news to talk about, even though people are maybe delving through the dark depths of their pantries. Restaurants are still open, well, to a certain degree. Give us a sense of how restaurants are doing right now.
I've been checking in with a lot of chefs and restaurants, bakeries and brew pubs and things, and it's extraordinarily difficult. They're doing the best they can to try to stay open. But the reality, the sad reality, is that by the time we're done with this, you know, I don't know, June, July, many of your favorite restaurants will no longer be open. So I guess all I'm saying is, you know, if you're going to visit them and support them, this is the time to do it. The other interesting, I was driving around in downtown Boulder a little bit last night, and the interesting thing is that often executive chefs weren't actually cooking. Now they are. Your food is, they're there in their restaurants trying desperately to keep it all going and support their staff. So I encourage you to do that. The other thing that's happening is that there's a lot of the bakeries have turned to delivery. You know, there's a lot of people like me that are, you know, need to avoid going out. And so there's some opportunities to get great goodies delivered to your house. One thing that's going on, if you want to support Meals on Wheels, they are selling frozen quiche in various flavors today at noon from 2 p.m. from noon to 2 p.m. in front of the West Senior Center. They're selling quiches for Easter, and you know, basically, put a $20 bill in your trunk, pull up, and leave with a quiche or more. Encourage that, because Meals on Wheels has an incredibly huge demand right now.
And that will benefit the Meals on Wheels organization and the incredible work that they're doing, with so many more people being isolated right now and really in need of delivery. So that's happening today and tomorrow, noon to 2 p.m. in front of the West Senior Center in Boulder. That's on Arapahoe Avenue. There are lots of other delivery options that maybe aren't normally available, and particularly for baked goods, because it is that time of year that for Passover and Easter and other celebrations, people are into baked goods. There is an opportunity to get some of those.
Exactly. And, you know, you need some goodies right now. There's a number of places. In Boulder, Le French Cafe is delivering. Also, Chemain's Bake Shop. And Tip Top Pies in Lafayette, and Moxie Bread Company in Louisville. And La Maman Maze in Longmont. Cakes, pies, croissant, all that stuff. Also, my friend Karen DiVincenzo up in Jamestown is delivering her delicious pie lady pies to Boulder, Jamestown, and Netherlands. All of them have different understandings about how much you have to order and where and stuff, but I encourage you to contact them. Besides that, you know, you need some goodies.
Well, what's the best thing you've tasted this week? I would imagine, John, it's something you've cooked yourself.
I'm so tired of my own cooking. But that aside, I decided I was in the mood for curry, and I had some garam masala, curry powder, and I made a chicken curry using coconut milk, and I added some of my homegrown cayenne peppers and made some rice with toasted peanuts and toasted coconut and it was very comforting for me.
Well, don't forget, people can delve into John's Nibbles archives at johnlendorf.wordpress.com. A lot of food writing in there. And, you know, food in many ways is the theme of what we're seeing right now. Either it's panic buying or people getting creative or people cooking together now as a family. Food certainly is at the heart of everything. And so we're going to be so happy to have John joining us live Thursday mornings from his kitchen.
And, you know, get on Zoom and teach your families how to bake things that define your family's history.
Well, keep on baking.
Yes.
And we'll catch John Lendorf live from his kitchen next Thursday morning.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.